The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time.
I wanted to do I guess you could call it a reality show, more of a game show type thing, where, because I get this every once in a while, that people that say that, oh, I can do what you do, where we set up a couple of cameras, and one of us or two of us behind the camera, and we go, here's the board, there's the mic, you've got 1 hour to convince me you can do this job.
Oh, that's a hell of a show.
And put it on the air, like live.
Oh, that would be brilliant.
This is Bobby, I'm from Tifton County, and Blake Skinner, you know, that kind of stuff. And just watch him melt down, because you've had this happen to you. I know that when you're sitting there and you're calm and you're collected and you got a guest that comes and maybe sits here in this seat or here, and all of a sudden they're like, oh shit, this is live. I'm a little nervous.
Right.
It happens to me all the time, but there's, you as a presenter have that gift of being able to calm them down and say, let's get into the nut of the show.
Right.
But I love it when people go, oh man, I'm the best jock there ever was. I used to work over at Babe's Titty Joint, and I could jock my way all the
and
way
I to- brought the strippers on.
Oh God. All right, well, come over here if you think you got it.
Right.
And let's hear you do a weather forecast. Let's hear you do a basic news thing. Right. Let's do a little bit about industry or music or that last band that played. How about that?
Yeah.
And then we sit back there and we start throwing shit at them. I mean, not literally.
Not literally.
Beer cans, right. Headphones. But people that would call in on the air. They have, and you're trial by fire. I think it'd be a fun show to watch.
That'd be a fantastic show. Are you kidding?
It would shatter the illusion.
I would do that to them.
Not just to them, but to the audience to sit there and go, man, I could do that. And then they watch that show and go, oh shit.
No, I can't. No, I can't. All right. Yeah. Nope.
You never know. You might find your new night guy.
I know. We may get lucky. And
the guy's like really good. You're trying to go, oh, this guy's got his shit together. Yeah. But, you know,
that's what we could do is like the prize, you know, the prize at the end of the game show and stuff like that. Is that, yeah, you get a shift or something, you know, for X amount of period of time, you know, that could be renegotiated after your air checks.
They'll give you a 6 month deal. And then the last 3 months of that is a straight up air check.
It's straight up air check, yeah. Man. You know, you can take it with you if you need to, man. But if you love,
you and I stand over the side over there with our arms crossed and just staring at him, just with glasses on. With a clipboard, checking notes off. Man, that was a loose board. Every mistake they make, you know, you didn't turn the mic up fully. You know, Bob, you missed a break. You know, whatever.
All right.
It would be a cool show.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course you can't hear them. You don't have your cans on.
Right. Yeah. Hello, Chumley. Right. Oh, the headphone wars. That's what you call
it. That's what the name of the show is, man. It's called Headphone Wars.
But here's what we'd have to do. We can't go to the alphabets to pitch it because they'll just steal it from us.
They probably just did just now.
You can't, because by us virtually talking about it on the air right now, it's been copyrighted.
But they'll do it anyway. And you know, that's okay, but just... Right, wrong. No, right. They can't. That's not right.
They can't do that. But so we pitch it to NDTV.
You know, that would be really, really awesome. We need to make that happen. There's a couple of things that, you know, that
it would be, it'd be fun to do, because I wanted to do that with you and I had talked about doing it with bands.
We talked about doing it with bands. We also talked about
a little sticky though, because it was going to be very critical and tough.
Yeah, that was going to be kind of crazy. You know, of course,
Mama D getting the tough love onto a band, going, man, you got a great voice, but you look like ass.
What?
But you're telling the truth.
Yeah, I love you.
Love you.
Mean it. I mean, I do. You know, I just, it's you know, you want certain, you know, certain people in certain bands, you know, or certain, you know, entertainers, you know, to make it, because, you know, the music or whatever, it's like, my God, that's a bona fide hit. Why are you an idiot? Why are you being an idiot?
There was a band about 4 years ago, 3 years ago that put together, they brought us a record here. I fell in love with it. It was an EP, really. It was only about 6 tracks. Fell in love with it. Yeah, it was a rocker. I mean, it had balls. It was great. It was good, fresh, new stuff that I'd never heard anything like.
Right.
They released the record 2 weeks after the release. The fucking band breaks up.
Oh, I know, right?
And I know the guy who's the lead singer of it, and I talked to him about that, and he goes, man, I was crushed. I was crushed, because I knew we had something. And then he goes, then I heard Radio Memphis talking about it. And then I really knew we had something. I still have him in rotation. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but, and you know the singer, but, Because he's been down here since then, and he's doing some other stuff. I'm like, dude, I have always been a fan of your work.
Right.
You know, but that, what you had right there, you guys caught something. It wasn't perfect.
Right.
But it was raw, and it was real, and it was fucking rock and roll. It was, it was that good, sweaty, greasy Memphis rock and roll you don't get.
Right.
I said, man, you guys had it right there in the palm of your hands. You snatched defeat from the jaws of victory.
It's that, but it's moments like that that make you happy as hell that, you know, we do what we do, you know, because it's you literally want to just, you know, rip it from the hands of Medusa, you know, and run, and run to the, the top of the hill,
I was so excited for those guys, too, because they did a live thing down here, and right when the CD came out, and then gone, boom, boosh, just like somebody blew out a candle.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. No, I'm not thinking about it. Tough stuff. I mean, yeah, we could, and there have been times where, artists do, reach out. This goes back to the old saying of if you truly want, criticism and things like that, be ready for, the answer that comes out.
Be careful
out.
For what you ask for.
Well, and
if you get it.
The great thing about what's going on right now, and, the availability from internet and everything else. And, like I've said this before, it's the most incredible thing that happened. It's the worst thing that has happened. In the same sentence.
Uh-huh.
You have better opportunities now than anybody ever did, pre-internet. Because you really had to, scream into the hurricane in order for anybody to even know who the hell you were.
You're still sort of doing that.
But we're back to, we're back to that because so much is now available that you're screaming in the hurricane to, whatever. And so you have to, you have to be a certain caliber of talent. There's formulas. I don't care what year this is, but I mean, and it's not like a, okay, go buy this book because you'll find the secret formula I'm talking about. It's not even that. This formula that I'm talking about is something that is ingrained and embedded on people who are of the business. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, you say the word corporate, like it's a dirty word, which
it kind of is.
It kind of is.
Because they've earned it.
Whatever.
But there's no secret handshake. There's no.
No.
There's none of that stuff.
No.
If you're in the biz, you get it.
If you're in the business, you get it. I love what I do. I love what I do. I love that I get to talk to talent. I love that I get to talk to people that have been trailblazers. I love the music business. I love everything about the music business. I love the fact that there's a business that's dedicated to finding talent, and I love knowing that there may be somebody out there that is of the business of music. And I mean, in the best way possible, because if you love what you do, The other shit winds up figuring itself out to a certain extent. Now, how greedy you get? Okay, that's a different conversation.
You have to let that go. If we think we've done a pretty good job with Radio Memphis by aligning ourselves with the industry as a whole.
Hmm.
We don't play favorites, of course.
No, you don't play favorites, of course. And the beautiful thing about being you've done media, you've been on TV, there's a fantastic picture floating around somewhere in the universe. If you can't find it, I will present it to you once I can break into Rick's house and get into his closet, of him as a newscaster with that total Walter Cronkite haircut.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, you've done that. I still can't believe that was you, man. I look at that and I'm like,
I used to keep that behind the toilet.
You know what? You need to do that again just to remind yourself where we don't want to go back to. Do that. And
well, I think that, with us, you're more of a fan of the music industry than I am.
I am.
I look at what we do here is part of the entertainment business, the show business. That I do like, and that I've worked in almost every facet of that. But the reach that Radio Memphis does have into the music industry or the record industry, we've got this recording studio here that is something of its own. I mean, it's its own animal.
We've let it be its own animal.
And
we've
going to stay that,
and it's going to kind of organically do what it does. And yes,
and that's it's great that it's here. I've always wanted for Radio Memphis to have that, and now that we do, it's completely different than what I originally imagined, but that's fine because I look at it so differently than you do. I think that gives us that much more depth and more of an expanse and a larger play on the audience in general, because it's not just the casual fan of music that listens to Radio Memphis. It's musicians and entertainers themselves that listen to this.
Well, yeah, it's musicians, it's entertainers. It's everybody. It's that. It's fans and everything else, you know.
The radio guys are sitting there listening going, God damn, Rick, what the hell?
What the hell are y'all doing?
But I also hear, we were talking about world famous Kylan, that had passed away. Clear Channel went and had the heifers on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And we were, because we mutually knew him, and he passed away not long ago. But one of the things he told me a couple of years back, because I ran into him, and he goes, man, all of us still stuck in corporate radio are so jealous.
Aww.
Because you guys get to do exactly what you want to do. And I said, don't be fooled by that, because if you do exactly what you want to do,
we wouldn't have gotten as far as we have.
We spend a lot of time sitting on our own hands.
Yes.
You know, and you kind of have to every once in a while, because they're just, that whole thing about picking your battles is huge.
Yeah, it is.
You got to know when, there's a time to know when to speak and run your mouth and fill the time. And then there's this thing called not doing that. There's knowing when to shut the hell up.
Mm.
And that involves social media, as you so pointed out to me.
Mm.
And because I rarely get on there.
I'm looking at you, man. Look, those first two years, though,
I was pissed.
You were mad as hell, man.
Mad as hell, my God. I wasn't going to take it anymore.
I'm going to type something. No, hell no, you're not.
No.
We just got started, man. You're going to shoot the ship in the water. No.
No, I was going to name names. I ultimately did. I just did it through the podcast.
Yes, you did. But you did it in a manner of, and I
still stand by this. If any of the things that I went through at that time differs from those people's points of view that put me through that, you're more than welcome to come down here. We'll have a civil discussion about this.
Mm.
I'm not going to cut you. Not until we get upstairs.
Right. I got
you. Because in the parking lot, it's a lot easier to not have to worry about cleaning up the blood on this carpet.
You quit being all Memphis. Stop it.
Cut it, bitch. I swear to God.
Stop it. No, all kidding aside, I mean, that was a wave of a trial of emotions and stuff. I mean, and it was not going to rectify itself in your head, in your heart, or your mind.
No, no.
Overnight. And there was no way that could happen. Your wife, God love her. She's an awesome wife.
She still does. She still feels that way.
She does. But you know, she also told me that if I ever left this, that she would divorce you.
Yeah. Who's that?
And I think we've passed that point. You've come.
I think so. Yeah, we've gotten to what is called the point of no return.
The point of no return. No, I kid. No, I'm talking about you. I'm actually more focused on you. And you know, that was tough. And you know, we're talking about the business in and of itself. You've even stepped forward on, you know, we both do. We still have friends, you know, that are as far as terrestrial and still, you know, hanging on to, you know, whatever it is that they're having to do.
Come on, retirement.
Whatever. You have been one of those friends, you know, to them with the understanding and the voice of reason to a certain extent.
Oh, sure.
Or and a welcoming arm, you know, and a, you know, an opened, you know.
So I still see those guys are colleagues of mine. You know, we worked on different stations.
Yeah.
We were technically competing against each other.
Yeah.
You have to remember, it's not the jocks or the talent that's competing against each other. It's the sales department.
Yeah.
It's our sales department versus their sales department. That's all it is.
It's
a money game.
The rest of
us are just glad to have a gig. But these humps that are selling, it's, if you've ever been, and I have, if you've ever been in a room where there's been more than one used car salesman having a conversation with another used car salesman, I've been in a room where there was a dozen of them.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to blow my brains out.
Yes.
I mean, it was the biggest penis measuring contest I had ever been a part of.
That's right. It's
like, you think you're full of shit on the lot. They do it to each other. They try and out bamboozle the next guy. And it's like, come on, you guys are cut of the same cloth.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of scary.
You know,
it's kind of scary the way they do all of that.
Or if I run into, I'm not going to name names, but if I run into some of these people that are on the air here in town, it's always like, hey, it's good to see you. How's it going? Oh, God,
right.
We love Radio Memphis. Oh, God, we love you.
And yeah, they've been so awesome and so supportive
and stuff like that.
We've even had some of the stations and stuff like that that wound up taking, you know, some, you know, how like I make those quirky post pictures and, you know, sayings and stuff like that. We've had some of the major radio stations take that stuff and share it.
Yeah.
Because they were like, okay, you know what? That's funny. And then it's like it's got us on it, you know. And so they, you know, it's not like they're not being supportive and stuff, and they are, you know, for the art of the business. That's my point.
And this end of the business is getting is shrinking.
It is.
It is shrinking, not at an alarming rate, but it's shrinking to, I think, where it's gonna stop. I mean, because like I said earlier, radio's not going anywhere.
Mm-mm.
It's just going to be found in different places. Mm-hmm. And the mode of delivery is going to be a little bit different. The rest of it is still the same. Mm-hmm. It's still a bunch of idiots sitting around a microphone with punk records going, hey, check this out.
Mm-hmm.
Stop of the hour, man. 77 degrees here in Memphis.
You're... Not do that.
You know, it's
so we don't do that.
Check out these guys. They're Pangea. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot of those elements will always be the same.
And they should be.
What has changed, and we have the audience to thank for this, is the audience perception of it.
Right.
The 18 to 34 year olds don't have a television. They don't even watch TV. They watch their phones. They'll catch a NDTV, and then they'll pay attention to things like what we're doing, because the kids will find us and they'll go, hey, this is kind of cool.
Right.
I like to listen to this because you guys are playing some different stuff.
Right.
You know, you're not going to hear that stuff anywhere else, and that's sort of the idea. But beyond that, it's still kind of the same. It really is.
It really is. It's what it was. It's what it was, you know, before everybody got their hands on it.
It's what it was meant to be.
It was what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. You know, there were guys that I'd known that had been in the business for so long. I mean, I went through that whole cross-generational thing, too, where I remember the old guys that were getting out, and they would set you aside, and they'd go, okay, this is how you do this. This is not how you do it. This is how I do it, but I want you to learn from me.
Mm.
And they, you would learn the craft like that.
Mm.
And there was this guy. He used to tell the story. He goes, man, I've been in this business so long. I was standing behind Marconi with a piece of paper in my hand going, hurry up with that goddamn thing. I want to get this bit on the air. He was also the same guy that told me when they canned him, because he was 6 months away from his retirement, and they canned him. And he said, I said, what are you going to do? His name is Bob. Bob's still on the air out on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, man, if I have to do this show door to door, I will.
Bam.
And that it was is crazy, that is, great that is, visual image of him just knocking on the door going, hey, good morning, 7:21, here's the weather. And he goes on to the next door. It'd be a great video. It'd be hilarious to door-to-door radio that way. But that's been ingrained in him.
Wow.
You know, he's one of these guys that we're kind of cut of the same cloth, that you're never really truly happy until you're doing your show.
Right.
Or until the show is done.
Right.
That's where the happiness comes in. You know, there's always the grind, there's the grudge, there's the whole thing. I got to do this for these people. I'm just a singing, talking monkey at this point. You know, why am I doing this? And then once you do it and you isolate yourself in that room, you close the door as you do here. I do as well. And you run
out. Oh, man,
you get into the fishbowl.
I get in the fishbowl, I shut the door and stuff like that. There's no invitation.
There's bliss to it.
Yeah.
You know, and you...
Door lights are down in my
world.
And
you're focusing on what it is that you're doing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're being air checked.
Yes, apparently I am.
Yes.
Speaking of being air checked, well, you know, so I've been stumbling into this thing that I started trying to maybe get stepping into for the new year and going into the year 2019. There's parts of me that, you know, want to be able to share, you know, parts of the business or things that are happening in the business or things to pay attention to and
the
stuff.
Radio business?
The business in general.
Show business?
No, yeah, just show business, entertainment, music industry, all of it, you know, to a certain extent. And so, you know, what I've been wanting to do is you know, kind of present an opportunity, which would be ultimately because of you that so, you know, inherently using that word, it's called the music industry air check. And so
yeah, we can do that.
Yeah So this was recorded.
Yeah, I know, I see that.
Yeah, so we're gonna make sure that this is available if you guys have tuned in and you missed the very beginnings of this, because I've been sitting here, you know, sitting with the owner and creator and you know, the master pirate himself, Rick Cheddar, for Radio Memphis and Pirate Radio Recording Studios and Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated. And you know, there's some insight that, you know, you've been able to throw out for everybody.
Look, I used to think of this as that there were a lot of secrets and a lot of proprietary stuff.
Mm.
And to a certain extent, there might be, but it's not complicated, really. And the beautiful thing is that for the past hour and 20,
mm-hmm.
I've kind of laid them all out there. And if y'all know what the hell I was talking about, you probably could pay attention and figured it out on your own. There's some secrets out there that I kind of gave. But a lot of it has to do with attitude, and a lot of it has to do with your inspiration to do it.
Well, yeah, that's
you
just know? It.
And it goes back to what we were joking about that reality show. You think you can do this? I'd be more than happy to come watch you try.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you sit here. You do this. And
coaching at all. I'll show you how to run the board and how to run that system, which a child could do that.
That's what you did to me. I was so good. I was mad at you.
But it worked.
I was so mad at you. And you're like, I mean, and that, you know, it was literally, you know, here it is, pot up, whatever, have fun. He just left me in the room.
Yep.
Like, with a lifestyle. Okay, did it go well all the time? No. I think I shut the station down, like, what, 3 times in that first year or something like that? Yeah, like, I completely shut it down.
I've done it a bunch
myself. Yeah,
I know. It happens. You know, there comes a point where you talk about it. I can't sit here to anybody and say, this is how you do this.
You can't.
It's like you can't teach somebody how to drive a car unless you got one in front of you.
Right. You can't do that.
Take training wheels off the bike, throw you to the wolves. Close the door. I knew there was nothing you could do that would damage us. Nothing. So you shut us off. Big deal. I just turn it back on again.
I know.
And we just keep going.
I know.
And as long as you weren't going to say anything that was going to get us sued, which even that's sort of kind of...
That was kind of iffy in the beginning.
Yeah, but even that's the entertainment hall pass. you can get away with murder for that kind of stuff.
No.
But really, there was really nothing that could go wrong. You know, the best way for you to figure it out is to go out there and do it. And if you make a mistake, you make a mistake. You learn from it. And you move along. Next time, I might add this though. Next time, you're going to throw a crystal ashtray at someone's head. Hit them. Hit that motherfucker.
Yeah, I needed to. Man, I was so mad at him.
Instead
God.
Of effing up the wall.
Well. It wasn't that well. Yeah.
It really wasn't that big.
It was okay. Yeah,
but that some bitch had it coming to him.
He did. God. He did. God, he did. Oh my God, he did. You know, it's funny though. You know, it seems like the moments that we got started with this, you know, was just yesterday. Now it's hard to believe. You know, we're 8 years.
8 years, July.
Yeah, that we're into this. You know, and actually almost 9 years as far as in the planning stages and rolling into it. You know, maybe 2019 is our time.
We said that last year.
Well, look, I'm trying to be like really like focused and positive.
It may very well be. I mean, there's been a hurricane of changes.
There's been a ton. There's a lot of things that are happening as far as industry wise and things like that.
You follow the music industry and the record industry, and that's great. I'm looking at also the radio industry and the TV industry, and you know, the impact of the internet. I'm telling you right now, people. If you got all of your eggs in the Facebook basket, y'all are going to lose every one of those damn things.
Every last one.
That's probably going to be, if I were to make a prediction for 2019, I would say by the end of 2019, you're going to see one of the greatest social media platforms have shot themselves in the head.
Damn.
I think the mass exodus has already begun. A lot of people don't even use it anymore. It's fascinating to see how Mark Zuckerberg and his greed got so far ahead of himself that he managed to kill off what could have been a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
It really could have been.
Yeah.
But that whole tracking shit and software, oh, man.
Yeah, stuff gotten bad.
It's gotten real bad. It's going to run people out of Alexa and the smart speakers. And I mean, it's devastating, industry-wide devastation.
You know, it's funny you bring that up because on my phone, which by the way has a crack.
Bummer. There's a screen place right around the corner.
Yeah, okay.
$40.
It's like running funny and stuff now too. This is called one of those meetings with like the people that are in charge of like our products and stuff. Anyways, Alexa, right? On my phone. Because you have an iPhone, I have Android, and we did that on purpose so that we can keep up with what's going on. You know, okay, so Google, you know, and you can, you know, hey Google, tell me something, you know, where's
hey,
this
Google,
at?
Tell me a joke, and it'll tell you.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, hey Google, you know, I'm looking for whatever. You know, where's his address? That kind of stuff. Well, you know, you've been able to do it, you know, for just the way you know it rolls. Remember all of the cases that were coming through where people were suing because they heard their voice.
On other people's, for
advertisement, for commercials, or sponsoring products and things like that. So now, you know, and this has started this just started in the past couple of weeks where it was on, you know, on my phone. I went to go, like I said, because I we've had the phones, I mean, as long as we've had our business, right?
Right.
And so we got, you know, we had gotten this one, what, a couple of years back. And I would never use that feature because I always had the thing about Big Brother. Big Brother, if they talk to Big Brother, Big Brother's what it'll sound like, and I don't want him to know. Well, finally, it got to the point where, you know, like everybody else, I was like, okay, I'm driving. You know, it's not a great idea to try to text things while you're trying to roll and stuff. No. So I'm like, all right, hey, Google, blah, 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 address. You know, and it's like, and it got to the point where I was like, well, okay, that's kind of cool. All right, I get this.
That's how they get you, yeah.
Yeah, and exactly. So there's this message that now comes up, okay, when you try to use it. And you have to agree, and you have to click, you know, as far as the parameters, as far as usage and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, it's a terms of service agreement that they could use your voice?
Yeah, or the terms of service agreement as far as you may having access to it. The possibilities that may or may not happen could kind of go into effect.
Well, I mean, if they were to use my voice in one of their advertisements, mm-hmm. don't think for a split second that I ain't going to turn around and send them a bill. We do this for a living around here.
Okay, let me see what it says. Hold on. And I was pissed off because the time I figured out the message came up, I was like on the highway.
Hey, Google, read me this message you just sent me.
Right. Well, I mean, no, it wasn't that. It was one of those, like, I needed to know this piece of information I was asking for. And I was like, I wasn't in a position where I could stop, text it and stuff. And so when that came up, I was like, the hell is this?
Yeah.
You know? And so I thought maybe this is just a fluke. Let's see. Hold on. I'll do it this way. Hey, Google. What's the weather? Okay, yes. Then all of a sudden, this thing comes up. Google Assistant, the new way to talk to Google. Google partners, businesses that have commercial relationship with Google, services and your privacy. Google sends services. You talk to a unique code, and it starts going into, you know, you go into this whole thing as far as, you know, way services can remember things like your preferences during conversations.
Oh, that's not creepy at all.
You can view and manage, reset the data sent to services on each services page, blah, blah, blah. And then it goes into, and of course, you wind up going into, you know, into continue, and you get the most out of your assistant. You know, as far as, you know, getting, you know, mail and stuff like that, use screen context. And then, you know, and then it just, you know, it just, it's not going to let you go any further until you realize that, you know, most of this, you know, most of these things are going down and happening. Now, on that particular instance, because I've tried this, like trying to get past the screen, apparently I've been like, no, I don't want to play with you anymore. It went for a little bit further and I've stopped this because it heard my voice and I'm probably sure that somebody captured it and I'm pretty sure, you know, I'm scared now.
Yeah, an algorithm got it. Yeah.
Yeah. But
yeah. And yeah. Siri does the same thing. I don't get the terms of service stuff with Siri. It's more of, cause with Siri, I don't do anything serious with it. Pardon the pun. More of what I do is more joking stuff.
Mm.
Like, Siri, I'm a little silhouette of a man.
I don't understand. Siri, I'm a little silhouette of a man.
She didn't understand it. Usually she goes scutter moosh, let me do the fandango.
Yes.
So, yeah, but anyway.
Never mind, I forget this is you were talking about.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, because they've kind of had to dumb her down a little bit because too many people were going, hey, Siri, tell me a joke.
What's Harry Potter's favorite way of getting down a hill? Walking. JK, rolling.
Get it?
Oh my goodness, right?
Yeah. So that's what I do with my late night when I get kind of drunk. I'm still retarded. Siri, tell me a joke.
You're retarded. You know, remember when we had this, when we were just in Studio A and we sit out in the back and we had the Ghost Hunter app on your phone.
I still have it. Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
To see if there were spirits and stuff that were hanging out, just to see what
was up. Start talking and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still play with it too. It's stupid, but it's fun.
Well, you know, right? Yeah, it made us feel kind of weird, you know, for about, you know, 20 minutes there going through it. But yeah, so going back to music, the business, the radio, the industry, and you know, everything else. We'll see what 2019 has for us.
Well, I think we're going to have to put ourselves in a position to be prepared
for.
Well, for any inevitability, because there are so many things that are really happening, and a lot of changes are coming, not just in the industry, but in, and we have to look at the economy, I think, is a big part of it. I think that the United States is on the verge of some sort of a recession. How big or deep that may be, I don't know. That could affect a lot of things. We have to be prepared to weather those types of storms. We also need to look at how the industry, the radio industry or the entertainment industry itself, is adapting to new technology that is coming out just left and right.
Yeah, it is. And it's not necessarily always all a good idea. Just because it's bright, new, and shiny doesn't mean it's good.
That's absolutely correct, because really about a third of what goes out there actually sticks.
Maybe.
If that. Yeah. Maybe a quarter of it. Mm-hmm. So just because there's this new fancy thing that they claim is going to take over the world, and I'd give you a good example of that. There's a guy here locally. Mm-hmm. Who was talking about, you probably saw the post, he was talking about a thing that's about the size of a tablet, you know, mm-hmm. Like an Android tablet, small thing, mm-hmm. that he claims that every venue and every radio station is going to start having, which will track every tune you're playing for mm-hmm. royalty purposes, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. more specifically to venues.
Right.
Because this guy was bitching about his particular venue having to pay this ridiculous amount of money for his ASCAP license, and he's a musician himself, mm-hmm. and he was talking about this particular device and how he could help you get one of these devices that has nothing to do with the company that's really ultimately in charge of collecting it. It's this whole, there's a whole other
scam thing.
There's a whole group of people that are trying to jump in on the music. Was it the music consolidation bill or whatever they called that
copyright
thing? Copyright. Mm-hmm. And the performance royalty and all that other stuff, mm-hmm. that, of the sales royalties and all that stuff that's been changed in the new law. There are now companies that are jumping into this going, hey, we can help you.
You know, and if anybody
and
really
is doing that,
if anybody's really paying attention, and you pay attention to the stuff that's been coming out in the news from like the government, the law, and all of that, you know, there have been some real strategic moves that have happened. You know, in fact, you know, changing of the hands. In fact, they appointed, you know, and the new president, an official president for the RIAA.
The RIA.
And
as the diarrhea.
I mean, they're reassembling. It's like everybody's trying to get their jacks together, and they're like, okay, look,
they're working on it.
This is serious stuff.
Well, sure it is.
But, you know, if you paid attention, they laid out kind of a platform on the reorganization of this. There were certain things that were coming into play. There was also some other dates as far as important things that had to be signed. So if you are jumping on as a company, a venue, or whomever, or if you're jumping on, you know, an idea right now, today, that is, you, that they're like, well, we can help you, and you can't verify them, or as far as an association and stuff, you're an idiot. Don't do it.
Right. There's only one company that is authorized by the Congress of the United States of America to collect royalty payments, and that is Sound Exchange.
Hmm.
All roads lead back to Sound Exchange. Hmm. They disperse back to ASCAP, BMI, and the artists themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Any of these other companies that are getting involved with it, they're going, hey, we're going to cut a piece of the pie up with you. No, you're not. So, once again, we all have to walk that fine line.
Well, you do.
We're always looking out for assholes and sharks, because they're everywhere.
They're everywhere. And, I mean, and mind you, you know, there are some other, because you got to remember that this is not a national thing that we're talking about anymore. And that's when everybody figures this part out, and this is my beef.
Well, I get you on this one. I know where you're going with this, yeah.
When you understand that it's a global thing, that part is. Because your music, you know, is not just exposed when you release it from Memphis, Tennessee, out of your bedroom, and it goes online, you know. It's not like it's only reaching Memphis.
No.
In any stretch of the imagination. So, you know, you have to have a form of a platform and an idea that is going to be conducive across the board because of the fact that it's so accessible. So what has to be fair, and these are the things that have to be worked out. What has to be fair in Memphis has to be fair in China.
What happens if an artist who... Karen Hilbert is a good example.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Kiri?
Mm-hmm.
from Germany.
Yes. By the way, Happy New Year, Kiri, because he and his lovely wife sent me some messages on Instant Messenger, and I just saw them today.
Oh, he's lovely.
He's wonderful.
He probably wasn't wearing a shirt when he sent
You know what? Don't say that out loud.
Yeah, that's what he does.
I understand.
Anyway, but, okay, Karen and his band, Karen Hilbert and Friends.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Prime example. They live in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
They put out a record in Germany. They mm-hmm. have to get a stamp on that record from the government that allows them to sell that record in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They have to pay a tax. I get it. It's their cut.
Right.
Plus the sales tax.
Right.
But Kiri sends the record over to Radio Memphis, and we play it on the air.
Mm-hmm.
then what?
That's the point. I mean, think about that for 2 seconds. So
that just opened up a shitload of worms.
It did open up a shitload of worms, but at the same token, that you're going to have to realize that if you as an artist are going to be one,
looking for sales or you're looking for performance?
Both. I mean, it's going to wind up working that way, right?
Right.
All right. And so in order to be able to have the opportunity across the board, you know, you have to align yourself with groups and organizations. It's like a passport. Like, you know, with a driver's license, we can go anywhere in the U.S. With a passport, we can
theoretically go anywhere
we
want to.
Yeah. Go anywhere we want to. You know what I mean? Now, if you're going to sit there and argue that that's not fair, which that's what people will do.
Sure.
You know what I mean? There's a certain element of being able to go from one place to another. You know, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
We say that a lot around here. Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Right. You know, there's a thing about you as a company, okay? If you are going to invest in Kieran as an artist, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Would you stand behind, you know, as far as his performance, you know, being able to, what he can do right now, or any artist? I mean, you don't have to answer this. I'm just making a point, you know, for industry music and stuff like that. The investment it takes to make these things go around the world and around the planet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's oh, God. I'm trying to put this into a similar context. A conversation that our friend Brad Dunn,
yes,
and I had about a certain company that was in the distribution business.
Yes.
And it was right around the time that Pirate Radio Records was, you know, the recording studio was starting to come into play. I call it Pirate Radio Records as shorthand. It's not a label.
Right.
But it's Pirate Radio Recording Studios. We call it Pirate Radio Records.
Absolutely.
But anyway, because I was talking to him. It was one of those late nights. You get Brad on the phone.
Man, you get Brad on the phone, man.
It's a late night gab fest.
Absolutely. And, but you learn a lot. If you pay attention, oh yeah, man, he throws it out there, too.
He's been all over. But he was once babysat backstage by John Lennon. It's a fantastic story.
Oh, my God.
So, at any rate, I said, what about distribution? Is that a game worth getting into? I mean, from your point of view.
Right.
Because of the iTunes and Apple, TuneCore and all that other stuff. And he's like, man, I wouldn't touch distribution because the risk is so inherently dangerous.
You have to have a lot of upfront capital in order to make that work.
The real distribution is being driven, according to him, and he's right, I think, is being driven through independent. Because too many people are having a lot of success working out of their own houses by doing so. Mm-hmm. Look at guys like Eric Hughes. Mm-hmm. Eric Hughes is a good example of that. Sure. Eric trims the fat out of all of his budgets, right?
Right.
He spends his money in recording and making a record, a product, okay? Physical right. product. And that band is tremendous, and he drives that band perfectly. And they come out with a record. He gets the records printed out of his pocket,
right.
out of the band's pocket, shipped to his house. He sets aside, he's got lists that he works. Mm-hmm. Get him to talk to you about it sometime, because it's mind-blowing the amount of work he puts into this.
Sure.
He's like, okay, so I've got this list, this stack of discs that are going to go to radio stations and magazines
mm-hmm.
for critique and play.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got all these others that I'm going to have for sale that I'm selling through Amazon and TuneCore that are minus downloads,
mm-hmm.
so they're physical copies. So mm-hmm. I've got those, and I've got my upload masters plus my ISRC codes, all that other stuff
right.
that he's got. And then once that comes out, I make several posts across social media that the record is here, it's been released, and I'm handling the distribution. Which means then he gets flooded
mm-hmm.
with messages going, send me a copy, send me a copy, send me a copy. He gets an email that says so many copies have been sold through Amazon, so he's got to ship those out.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Rick, I can spend 60 to 70 hours a week for the first 3 months of a record delivering that copy. Do I get that much money out of it? I don't get a whole heck of a lot, but I do pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
It's what he'll tell you. He said, but he goes, it's a job.
Well, and
it's a lot of work.
That right there will prove the fact that if your music is good, then that's an issue. It's a good issue to have.
It's a good problem to have.
It's a great problem to have. And the thing about it is that as unfortunate as people seem to think, you know, because everybody's got this thing in their mind that my song is good, love me, you should just pay for it all.
What was it Brad used to tell me? I think you were in the room when he said this. He goes, how many times have I seen it when we have a young band in the studio, right? And we're at the tail end of the post-production of the record. It's a sweet story.
It's a very sweet story.
And he says, it gets done, it goes through the mastering, and they're listening to it there in the room, and they're excited. And then the engineer hands them that CD, that blank, not the blank, but it's an unlabeled CD that they just burned.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your album.
Mm-hmm.
And he says the kid will sit there with the album in his right hand and his phone in his left hand as if it's magically just going to start ringing.
Exactly. And that's what people think.
That my record's done, my phone's not ringing. And he said, son, nobody knows you even made the damn thing. He said, your work has just begun.
Yes.
It gets uphill from here.
Yes. And that's the way it should be. Now,
well, sure.
Everybody that's looking for that, you know, the investment, you know, the help or, you know, to, you know, as far as get to the next levels and stuff. I mean, there's a lot of work that winds up happening, you know, before you get there. This is the equivalent of what bands and artists and stuff had to do, you know, before this isn't even a conversation and an issue and internet was a thing. You know, it's like they had to, like, you know, nickel and dime it. And those bands, you know, were strictly based on their performances and stuff like that because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't as easy.
How many tickets you could sell at a venue. Yeah.
It wasn't as easy to record stuff as it is now. You know, I mean, so you had to have, yes, that was the part that you had to have that backup. I get
the reference.
It.
The record is what you told to sell to the gig.
Well, right. And
that's the other way around.
Right. But just in time, and I'm talking about in the very beginning as an independent and stuff like that, you didn't have, I mean, you didn't get a chance to record because that was like, $2,000 a day in a studio.
Oh, sure.
Days. Oh, yeah. You know, that was just that was it. Now, I mean, yes, now you can do these things that you can do, you know, whatever the case may be.
And I tell you this, and I know you and I have seen this.
Mm.
There are people out there, and there's a lot of them, a lot of musicians, that claim, and they get the chip on the shoulder about it.
Mm.
I'm a musician, pay me on everything.
Mm-hmm.
I made a record, you should pay me.
Right.
You know, you owe this to me because I made this. No, bitch, no. It doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't.
You know, that's like, it's like any other artist. If I were a painter, okay, and I made a painting, which would look like some drunken four-year-old with, you know, and I go, hey, look, I made this. You owe me.
Mm-mm.
I owe you shit. That's the same thing with a record. I've heard, yeah, we've gotten them. Lots of records that come to us and you go, wow, you made a record. Ooh, and it sucks. You guys wasted your money on this.
Mm.
We don't say that, but you think it sometimes out loud. But but by virtue of you having done this doesn't entitle you to this.
No.
There is the world court of opinion. You put it on radio stations and let it get sampled. We do this with artists a lot.
Absolutely.
We're about to do, when Tony Maynard was here, New Year's Eve, he and I were chatting in the parking lot. He's about to have a new record that him and his band have done.
Mm-hmm.
They got a last bit of mastering to do.
Right.
So probably in the next 2 months, he wants to bring the band down, no instruments, and play the record. And talk. I said, I'd love to do that because Tony's a sweet guy.
He's great, dude.
And he's so fun.
He's a lot of fun.
I'm a little nervous about that now because I'm just unveiling this thing. And I said, well, this is how it works. Radio sells records.
Mm.
That's kind of how this works.
Mm.
We sell a lot of records. We help make bands some money.
Right.
And look, I said, if the people like it, if they really enjoy it, they're going to go get it. If they don't like it, they're not. It's just that simple.
Right.
So don't sit there and go, I made this, you owe me.
Oh my God! You know we can go 4 more hours on this.
Oh, thing. Easily. Oh God!
You know,
coming up next week.
Yeah,
more from the Air Check Files.
You know, this is the Air Check Files. Yet another one that's going to be a two-parter. Because
did you know?
Oh my God! What?
Years ago, I'd say it was about the mid-90s, mid to late 90s.
Hmm.
And it may still be up there. There was a website, I think it was called aircheck.com, I think.
Mm.
And it was program directors taking files and uploading it to the site and having other program directors listen to their...
Oh, my God.
Oh, can you imagine the shit fest that was? Dude, you really got that person on the air?
Dave, you know, that sucks. I can't believe you. You know what? That absolutely sucks. Whatever. He's fired. Hey, did you find that he's fired here? Call him because he's really good.
That's exactly what was going on. They sit there and go, oh, yeah, you should. Oh, man, Rick, I've known you for years. God, you made a horrible decision hiring this person. God, you should really should just let this person go. And then,
and then 6 months later, all of a sudden, you see them with their own show on that dude station. That,
oh,
that,
yeah, he's doing afternoon stuff. Drive. He's over there, you know, it's a big swinging penis in all of Columbia, South Carolina. It's like, you son of a bitch.
Well, I mean, he did suck when he was with you. But we just I feel it
exactly. But yeah, but apparently, I think anybody can go up there, and they have air checks that go all the way back to like Rick D's and what's his name, the Boondogs, you know, all that stuff.
That's funny.
Yeah, well, it's all there.
Well, thank you for spending some time with me.
Oh, my pleasure.
And letting me know that I was air checked.
remember, you are always.
And those always of you who tuned in, yeah, apparently this is another piece that was captured. It's got to be part of the music industry air check with D right here in Radio Memphis around the world. And this one's another two parter because, you know, I'm hitting it with the big guns on the very front end, apparently.
I hope that this provides not just internally in the station, platform that you can stand on and go, okay, here's where I'm at. You know, here's what I need to do as a performer.
Well, sure.
But on top of that, what I really would like to see happen here with this bit that you're doing is that the audience, okay, the casual fan of music or independent music or radio, mm-hmm. and there's a bunch of them out there.
Right.
And they're all sweet people. They really get it.
Right.
They don't necessarily understand the mechanical working. I love clocks. I don't get how they work, but I love them.
I do too.
And
that's kind of weird. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, like a wristwatch blows my mind. It really does. Like, wow, it does. And it doesn't need batteries.
I like clocks and I like maps.
Maps are cool. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, those that sit and listen to this radio station like a lot, mm-hmm. which is great. I want them to understand that. Yeah, we can be considered part of their family.
Right.
Because we're on the air so much.
Sure.
And that's all well and good. But they need to understand kind of what makes it tick.
Yeah, they do.
And for those that are new to independent radio, mm-hmm. like Radio Memphis, mm-hmm. need to understand that there are two very distinct boxes you can put radio stations in. Professionally run ones and ones that are not. And the ones that are not professionally run aren't going to air check their staff. They're just happy to play screaming music, whatever, you know, with all the faders cranked all the way up and they're screaming and hollering and saying every dirty word they can think of. Right. Whereas we're here, it's not a matter of being
Freebird!
Freebird, man! Whereas around here, it may appear chaotic. But it's really quite subdued.
Actually, it's the magic of the circus. I mean,
right.
And that's ultimately what.
And
it
that's
is.
And that for me as somebody who listens to a lot of radio and a lot of podcasts,
right.
I draw myself closer to shows that are like that. Not to bring it up again, but the Spud Goodman Radio Show is a prime example. That is a slick, polished show. There's mm-hmm. a lot that goes into that 1 hour show. It's mm-hmm. We run the original, and then there's a repeat the following hour. And the more I listen to it as a radio person, the more I'm like, God damn, I'm jealous because they're doing some stuff that I wished I'd have thought of.
Right. Well, there's a combination of them doing the stuff in the interviews and also a little bit of role play. And
a lot of role play, a lot of scripted stuff.
Right.
And a lot of just goofy, fun stuff that takes a lot of effort to pull off.
Sure it does.
And my hat's off to those cats.
And they do a fantastic job.
SBG Radio has, their production is stellar.
They do.
And it sound, when you first listen to it, you go, oh, this sounds kind of dumb. But that's the beauty of it. It's supposed to sound like that. And the more you get into it, the more you realize, oh, this gets deep.
Right.
Gerald Holcomb. The temporary permanent co-host?
Yeah, the temporary permanent co-host.
That guy?
He's funny.
He is the one that really, I think, if it wasn't for him, Spud would have some trouble.
Yes, no, Joel.
Spud's difficult enough as it is.
He does bring
but how Gerald figured out my blood type is beyond me, I'll tell you what.
You know,
he got that dead. I scared the crap out of me when he said that.
That was kind of weird.
I didn't know if he was making that up or not, but he was dead on.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. You know, as far as hopes and stuff, I mean, yeah, we want everybody to understand kind of the mechanics of how everything is. I mean, for me, myself, being able to talk about these things, you know, to give everybody an understanding, I'm probably one of my biggest pet peeves is people who speak about things they know nothing of.
Oh, my God. what you ought to do.
Right.
Or, D, you need me.
You know, that moment that happened.
You need me, goddammit. I'll make you number one.
And what was so funny was that I was having kind of a crappy day anyway. You talk about listening to music and as you're not in a certain frame of mind, right? Yeah. Well, that was that day coming in to... But, like, as always, when you finally get in and you plug in and you get into your show and stuff, you know, because this is...
You get the groove and you're ready to go.
Yeah, yeah, this is the happy place. This is where it makes it all happen. But, yeah, walking into that moment...
coming
I must have had, like, demon spawn coming out of my eyes because I just looked at it and it was sir.
Did he wet himself or anything?
His eyes got real wide and real. I mean, it was like white eyes. You know, it was one of those like buck white.
Have said that.
Yeah, like buckwheat wide. You know what I mean? Yeah, it was one of those, and it was like, sir, if you have to start a conversation with me like that, I promise I probably don't. In fact, I know I don't.
Need me? I need a beer and a nap.
You need me. I need a sandwich.
Yeah.
That was not it. That was bad. That was yeah.
Yeah. That's a pretty good... You don't go in there thinking that highly of yourself.
No, and that's the one thing I can't stand about people that do think that highly of themselves. You know,
had a guy not long ago throw his talent upon me to take over the afternoons here at Radio Memphis, and I was like, oh, this ought to be interesting. So I said, where have you worked? Have you done this before? This is the second guy who's done this. No, but I worked for several years as a DJ at a strip club.
True story.
And I'm like, this, you know, this gives you the experience to come do this? Mm-hmm. We don't sit here and go, coming up next, Cinnamon on the same main stage. We don't do that. Mm-mm. We don't play Guns N' Roses here.
Look, and there's people that have never been in the business and stuff, and you get lucky. And then
there are guys that have been in the business and have gotten the short end of the stick.
Yeah.
I speak of our dear friend and brother, Joel Martin.
Hmm.
He sent me a text last night.
Did he?
He's in Las Vegas.
What's he doing there?
He's visiting an old friend of his that he grew up with in Roswell, New Mexico.
Man, he's looking for aliens, dude.
And they were out there drinking some whiskey or whatnot. And he goes, we're sitting there thinking about you. And I'm like, dude. Yeah, he goes, well, we were talking about the radio station stuff, but apparently we're pretty big in Roswell.
Yeah.
With the young kids.
Yes.
Well, Joel's a celebrity.
Joel's quite the celebrity. He's fantastic.
But he'll be coming back. I'm sitting, okay, you're well enough to go to Vegas, bitch. You're coming here. I got some stuff. We got
some work for you, man. God, hurry up. Get back. Yeah. We love Joel.
Yeah. But he's a prime example. This is a guy who had been, because the story about how he came to us was kind of sad. Every radio station, every terrestrial radio station in the city, never returned his phone call, his email, or his handwritten letters.
Yep, and he wanted to work for free as an internship.
He came to us and he said, please check out, he sent me an email, please check out my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He even sent a demo. No, he did have a little demo, and he sent the resume and I forwarded it over to him. So what do you think of this guy? And you're like, hey, I like his voice.
I knew right off the bat that was the voice of Radio Memphis.
And so we brought him down to meet him.
On my birthday.
On your birthday, that's right, because he brought you cupcakes and whiskey, and I thought, this guy's in. What a way to get in. And he's such a great guy.
He really is.
He's not like what you think he is.
Mm-mm. No, it's Mr. Rogers who loves Iron Maiden, you know, who supports aliens, who actually fixes the flower bed for his wife on the weekends.
Sweet guy.
He's a very, very sweet man.
Very, very sweet guy. And he always sends me messages just checking on me, and I do the same to him. I love him to death. But
yes.
But yeah, that's... So you have those good, happy stories, and he keeps telling me... Because I'll say, man, I really do appreciate you doing this, that, or the other. And he's like, man, I'm just here to forward the cause of Radio Memphis.
But you listen to this voice of his and stuff like that, I believe you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I believe him. I believe Joel.
Oh, sure.
Whatever Joel says, I believe it.
He told me how that voice happened.
Hmm.
I think I can tell it. He had a condition coming out of puberty where that shit didn't stop. he got like an overflow of testosterone or whatever.
Good.
And his voice kept getting deeper and deeper.
Good.
And it scared the crap out of everybody in his family.
Good. I mean, all the kids here and stuff, I mean, they're like, we just want to be like Joel.
Yeah, when they'll meet him, they go, oh, it's Joel. And he goes, hey, how are you? And they go, holy shit, it's the voice of God.
I know, right? It's like, you know, of course, every time you guys hear the stop vendors and stuff, are we going in and out and you hear.
Oh, yeah, all of our imaging stuff.
That's Joel. It's like, this is Radio Memphis. Hell yeah, it is. You hear him? He meant it. I believe him. Of course, he's our voice. Uh-huh. Now, for people to get an understanding to, you know, kind of how things are and you know, from different insights, you know, from different people. And you know, you have an opportunity to learn so much now that with things that are available. You know, I think one of my biggest goals is to have everybody not believe the first headline they read.
Oh my God. Stop it with that.
Yeah.
And, research. And if something sounds too good to be true, it is. If it sounds too scary to be real, it is.
We should know.
A statement that I use in the morning show quite a bit when I talk about news is two words, really. Be reasonable. Just look at something.
That's coming from you.
Just look at something that you see or in the headlines, you know, in the news.
Right.
I mean, because we're living in some scary times right now.
We are.
But it's all in appearance. Be reasonable. If you're going to be in public and if somebody's pissed you off.
Right.
Be reasonable about it. Don't drop your pants and moon somebody because they've pissed you off at the Home Depot. That's not going to get anything accomplished.
No, it's not.
If your job requires you to work, I don't know, let's just say the first window at a McDonald's, and a customer comes through and gives you money to pay, and you're out of receipt paper, you shouldn't cop a fit about it. Just be reasonable and just say, listen, if you happen to need a receipt, I'm going to have to ask them to print you one up front. I'm so sorry. Or do you need a receipt at all? Most times they don't. But don't sit there and go, bitch, I ain't got no receipt paper, so you ain't getting no receipt. You're lucky you're going to get some french fries with that soda you want. So be reasonable.
Oh, my God. What a way to have ended the year.
Just started it off.
I nearly did.
I know that happened.
I get it.
And it was great fun. But try and be reasonable. Everybody's nervous. Everybody's scared right now.
Sure they are.
And this is where Radio Memphis can be a great benefit. This is where we can kind of sell ourselves here.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a bit of an escape from that.
We are.
So relax. The world ain't going nowhere. Listen to some rock and roll. Listen to some hip hop. Listen to some blues or some country because we got it all. And it gives you just a few minutes to just say, I'm going to breathe, and I want to hear me some Fast Mothers, or I want to hear some Andrew Cabigal, or
right.
Or Cabigo, excuse me, I mispronounce his name all the time.
Wow.
Or Sarah Simmons, or whoever. You know, we got stuff.
Yeah.
John Namath, tomorrow night, here in the studio, mm-hmm. Feeling freaky with the big pink pickle and everything.
And the big pink pickle on everything. On that note, just for your part and closing you out, Pablo the Pool Boy says that when I grow up, I want to be like Rick.
Man, when I want to grow up, I want to be like Pablo. Pablo goes to like Formula One races and shit. He buys good whiskey. And
all right.
He's got all the ass.
He's got. All right, I'm done with you now.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Rick Jeter, who actually came in and crashed in on the end of my show right here in Radio Memphis around the world. You know, this has been a fantastic opportunity, you know, in our real weird, quirky way that we kind of do things around here in Radio Memphis to actually get into some a little bit of industry. And you talk about somebody who has been in the business, you know, for a very long period of time in all sides and all facets and stuff. And this is you know, kind of, you know, somebody that I actually, you know, look to and work with and work beside on, you know, some of the things that we do here. Hopefully that's kind of giving you a little bit of insight. And you know, it's kind of funny because little bit by little bit, you know, we're kind of weaving into the first of the year. And you know, it's kind of funny because normal circumstances when you create a show or you create, you know, opportunities and bits for a show, you know, you have everything pretty much lined out and laid out the way it's going to go. I've been kind of organic about it coming into it, and I'm starting to see a vision, because some of the things that I know that would be, you know, that would be somewhat interesting to me would probably be the same things that would be interesting to you as far as how things work and how things tick. So, you know, maybe I'll get lucky and, you know, we'll get some of those people across the board to kind of come in on different sides of the fence as to, you know, the parts of the business that get affected. But just a little music industry air check with D right here on Radio Memphis around the world.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved, and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.